Jack Eichel and the Vegas Golden Knights continue to lose. It's up to 5 in a row. We will take a look at what is going wrong in Vegas and what the state of the Sabres' first-round pick is that they will get from the Golden Knights from the Eichel trade in the 2022 NHL draft. I've also got 5 trades that I think the Sabres should offer to other teams before Monday's trade deadline. That's all coming up here on Locked On Sabres.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms, including our YouTube channel. Be sure to go check out the show on YouTube and watch it there. Joe DiBiase flying solo on today's episode with a couple of days still until Sabres and Oilers. Actually, one day, Thursday night at 9 o'clock will be Sabres and Oilers, the NCAA tournament. Get things going tomorrow for a pretty awesome sports day here in Buffalo. We're riding high on the Sabres. We've got college basketball in town. The weather's going to be really nice. I'm actually fighting a cold, so I hope to take part in all of that. I'm going to be down there. I have at Hartman's Distilling, a live spot or a live show on location for WGR at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. So if you want to come check us out and say hi, feel free to do that at Hartman's Distilling. And then the tournaments thereafter, we're just a quick walk from the arena. And then I'll be working the Sabre game for WGR later in the night, filling in for Brian Koziol at 9. So I've got a busy day. I don't know how long I'll be able to go on this show here because of the cold that I'm fighting. But I think I should be able to get through 20 or so minutes. So I want to get through before I might have to get up and blow my nose at any point. If my nose starts running, I've been okay the last couple of minutes, coughing, I should be okay. So just kind of have to power through it here on the show. So probably expect like a 20 to 25 minute show here tops. I know sometimes we'll go a little bit longer, like 35 to 40. So a little bit later on, I've got 5 trades that I think the Sabres should offer to other teams before Monday's trade deadline. Some of them might be similar to types of trades that they actually will do. There's not, you know, crazy hot takes in every single one of these trades, but I did try to get creative with at least a couple of them. So some straightforward ones and then some creative trade offers I think Kevin Adams should make to other teams. That is coming up in the second portion of today's show. I really want to start, though, with the Golden Knights. I don't know how many Sabre fans are watching them night to night. So I have the ESPN Plus NHL package. And since last Thursday night, Eichel's return to Buffalo, I think I've watched at least part of every single one of Vegas's games. Their loss to Pittsburgh on Saturday, their loss to Columbus on Sunday, and then last night they get blown out 7-3 in Winnipeg to the Winnipeg Jets, 7-3. And that was the first game of the trio where they really weren't the better team on the ice. They had been getting taken advantage of from other teams for their lack of goaltending. Robin Lehner has been out, and they had been kind of controlling play. They just were letting in these softies. Last night, that was not the case. Winnipeg ran them over, scored 7 goals on the Golden Knights. They are collapsing. 5 straight losses, 10 of 14 they have lost since Jack Eichel made his debut for the team. Now, this is kind of similar, I think, to when Ryan O'Reilly first went to St. Louis. Remember in January, we were halfway through the season and the Blues with Ryan O'Reilly were in dead last. And that was compounded by the fact that the Sabres, after the month of November, were in first place. You had the Blues in last, you had the Sabres in first, and it was very easy to take a victory lap of, see, he was the problem. Now, what ultimately ended up happening? We know, I don't want to get too revisionist here, but they won the Stanley Cup, the Blues did, and we now know, oh, he wasn't the problem. Ryan O'Reilly was not the problem. He was a great player that probably could have been a part of a solution here. If things had gone a little bit differently, he could have been a part of great teams had they had a blue line. We recognized, I think, after a certain point of that season that, okay, that was kind of fraudulent, that horrible start that they had to that season St. Louis. And I wonder, have we learned our lesson here? But I'm also not sure it's the same. It's not, they're not equals, these two situations. O'Reilly's Blues team was legitimately great. They ended up finding Jordan Binnington. They found their way to Jordan Binnington as a goaltender that could get them saves and could get them into the postseason and then go on a cup run. Well, Vegas has that guy in Robin Lehner, so they know who it is, but we don't really know the state of his injury. He got injured. He tried to come back. He played a couple of games, re-injured. He went back on the shelf. Now he's away from the team. He's getting second opinions. I don't know when Robin Lehner is going to be able to come back for Vegas. And that might be their solution. They might not be able to be a playoff level team until he returns. And who knows if he even returns this season. They could go out and get a goaltender before the trade deadline, but Vegas is in deep trouble when it comes to their salary cap build. They have about $30 million on IR. $30 million. That was the number Elliot Friedman threw out in his podcast. I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but I'm looking at it now. Long-term IR, Robin Lehner, $5 million. Riley Smith, $5 million. Braden McNabb, $2.5 million. Matthias Janmark, $2 million. Brett Howden, just under $1 million. Mark Stone, $9.5 million. Alec Martinez, $5.25 million. They've got, yeah, $30 million on IR and LTIR. They're going to need to have that space when all of those guys come back. And if they were to all come back right now, they would be at $92.5 million. That is $7 million over the salary cap. $7 million over the salary cap already. What can they realistically add? I don't know if they can realistically add anything unless they get real creative and they're willing to sell parts like Riley Smith to sub out his $5 million to get another goaltender. And to add on top of Lehner, I think, you know, John Scott, who does the Drops the Gloves podcast, former Sabre, he made a case on his podcast yesterday. I didn't listen to it, but I saw a graphic and I heard a clip of him making a case yesterday before they lost to Winnipeg 7-3 that the Golden Knights should recognize it's not their year and they should sell at the deadline. I don't think they will sell because I think that ownership group and that management group are ultra aggressive. And I guess we've never really seen them be in a circumstance like this late in the season where they have to make a determination of whether or not they'll be a buyer or whether or not they'll be a seller. They've always been a buyer. So we don't have a precedent for how they react in this situation, but knowing how aggressive they've been, you know, when they need a goalie, they go trade for Robin Lehner. When they need a defenseman, they sign a huge contract to Alex Petrangelo. When they need a number one center, they go make the Jack Eichel trade. Like, that's the move they make. They push forward, right? They don't step back. It might make sense for them to step back, but I'm not confident that they are going to do it. They're going to continue along, I think, with Lorraine Brossois, their backup netminder, and Logan Thompson, who's on the team on an emergency loan, as their two netminders. And I think that is troublesome. But I think it really does start and end in goal. It starts and ends in goal with why they're struggling. And also, they're getting unlucky. I think you could also factor that in as well. I don't think Vegas is a legitimately bad team. I don't think even with Jack Eichel, you know, I could go into, is he being a locker room problem right now? Is he kind of disrupting their group? There's definitely, you know, there are other analysts out there that can make that case better than I can. I'm not going to rule it out. It could be. It could be the case that Eichel has disrupted that group and that Alex Tuck going out as a glue guy, and Mark Stone's a glue guy too, so him also not being in the lineup and him being replaced by Eichel in that locker room, it's possible. It's definitely possible, in my opinion, that that is affecting them. But I think the bigger reasons why they are losing right now, and again, Vegas has lost 10 of 14 since Eichel debuted, and their last five in a row, all in regulation, by the way. These last five in a row have all been in regulation. It's the saves. And it's them getting unlucky. They're snake bitten. They are in the stretch Eichel's played, the 10 of 14 they've lost. They are fourth in the NFL in Corsi 4 percentage shot attempts. They are sixth in the NHL in expected goals 4 percentage. They are 31st in the NHL in PDO, which is a combination of save percentage and shooting percentage, which oftentimes is a metric to look at how lucky or unlucky a team is getting. they're second last in the league in shot percentage combined with save percentage. Is that going to keep up? I do think it could keep up on the short term because, again, I don't see how they get to a quality goaltender unless Robin Lehner suddenly returns and remains healthy for the rest of the season, or they magically create some cap space that I'm looking at their cap friendly page right now and can't recognize how they're going to do it. So I don't think they're a bad team, and I think they're going to have great moments. They're going to have great moments, and Jack Eichel is going to have great moments for that team in the playoffs, probably. Maybe not this year, but he's going to have moments for that squad. It's fun right now, though. It's fun to, after what he said on Thursday, last Thursday night, to take a direct shot at Sabre fans that was completely unnecessary and pathetic. It's, you know what? Eat it a little bit, Jack Eichel. Like, isn't that what we're all kind of feeling a little bit? Eat it. You've lost 5 in a row. Your team stinks now, too, because you're there. Like, have fun. Have fun with that. Like, that's kind of the attitude, I think, that I'm taking and a lot of Sabre fans are taking. And maybe we all do recognize. Maybe some actually believe they're a bad team. I don't. But I think we're all just kind of having fun right now. We're going to take it while it's here. And maybe they do miss the playoffs. That could happen. The Sabres have their first-round pick. There is a very good reason to root against the Golden Knights. That is not just you're rooting against Jack Eichel and you're rooting for Jack Eichel to fail. You have their first-round pick. And that's not nothing. The variance in which that first-round pick could fall is very wide. That's a team where if they get Leonard healthy and they get hot and they get into the postseason and they get hot, they are capable of going all the way to the finals. I do believe that. Even today, after losing 10 of 14, I believe the Golden Knights are still capable of reaching the Stanley Cup Finals. If that were to be the case, we are talking about the 31st or the 32nd overall pick, whereas they could also miss the playoffs. They are currently in a free fall. They have injuries. They don't have goaltending. They are splintered right now as a group. Could they miss the playoffs? Mathematically, there's a very good chance at it. That pick currently for the Sabres is 15th. It would be 15th if the season ended today. That is a 16-17 pick jump from where the worst case scenario for the Sabres could end up being. And it could get better than 15th. Winnipeg is 2 points behind Vegas. Columbus is 5 points behind Vegas, and they have games in hand. The Ducks are 3 points behind Vegas. They have games in hand. In fact, I can tell you exactly how many games in hand all of those teams currently have. So Vegas sits in 16th place. Dallas, I'll talk about Dallas in a second for the playoff race, but how far could they get? Winnipeg is 2 points back with a game in hand. Anaheim is 3 points back. They've actually played one more game. Columbus is 5 points back. They have 2 games in hand. That's probably the extent to which they could fall. That's San Jose. I'll throw San Jose in there as well. San Jose has 60 points in 59 games. So that's an 8-point gap, but they have 3 games in hand. If they win those 3 games in hand, we're talking about a 2-point difference. Can I keep going? I got to stop at some point, right? The Islanders have 57 points in 57 games. So they are 11 points back, but they have 5 games in hand. If they were to win all 5 games, I don't think the Islanders are going to do that because I don't think they're a very good team. But if the Islanders were to win 5 games in hand, that's a 1-point gap. So, you know, on an extreme scenario where everything goes wrong for Vegas and all these teams behind them catch them, we're talking about the 10th or 11th pick in the NHL draft. More realistically, I think the furthest they could realistically fall is like 12th or 13th. The Sharks and Islanders, the Islanders are 10th, so they could fall as far as 10th. I don't think they get that far. I think 12 is the best case scenario. And again, that's a 20-point difference, 20-pick difference between them being a cup team and everything going wrong and them bottoming out. I think you could reasonably say, though, that they're going to miss the playoffs. I think maybe they're close to 50-50 right now. I was trying to find some odds on whether or not they'll make it from BetOnline or any other sports book, and I couldn't find any. But currently, Vegas sits at 68 points in 62 games. That's 1 point ahead of Dallas. And Dallas, and they're in the final playoff spot, Vegas. 1 point ahead of Dallas. Dallas has 4 games in hand, right? The Canucks even are 1 point back. They have a game in hand. But Dallas is the point. Dallas is going to make that up. By points percentage, they're 2 spots out of the playoffs. They're well below the Stars, and they are just below Winnipeg, or just below Vancouver. So if they don't get it together quickly here, before the deadline on Monday, they could become a seller. And if they don't get it together quickly after that, they are losing the playoff race. You know, it is getting away from them quickly, to where if they don't get it together in a month, there could be weeks left of the season and they might be dead. And I hope that happens, because not just because of the Eichel point and rooting against him to fail for what he said about the Sabres fan base, and you just kind of be able to take that victory lap at the end of the season as Sabre fans, but also there is a real direct value in them losing, which is the more they lose, the better the draft pick is that you get. And that's a good thing, considering Florida is a great team and a Stanley Cup contender, and you should not be able to count on that pick right now for being too high, late 20s probably at best. But Vegas, the teens for now, and maybe it continues to climb even above the 15th overall pick. We will take a timeout, and I got 5 trades I think the Sabres should offer to other teams at the deadline coming your way on Monday. Before I get into that, though, I'm falling for the new Built Bar flavor. I've been telling you about these Built Bar puffs. They are marshmallowy. They're fluffy. They're 100% covered in chocolate. A new version of the puffs has arrived. Brownie batter puffs. Listen, these things are dangerous, because you really want to treat them as a dessert. Every time I like to eat something, like even little, just something chocolatey after I eat dinner. And those things are in my cupboard, these Built puffs, the brownie batter. And I want to go to them after every time I eat a meal. But, you know, dessert, you don't, especially like, you don't want to do it every day. We're eating like a heavy dessert, and it's 17 grams of protein. So while it tastes light and fluffy, it is filling because of all the protein that is stacked in it. And you can't do that for dessert after having a huge meal. So I've been making it my breakfast, the new Built brownie batter puffs. You got to try them. How do I even describe them? It's like a Three Musketeers, but instead of the weirdo nougat in the middle, it's brownie flavored chocolate. But it's that same consistency. It's really good. 100% covered in chocolate. You definitely should go try it. There's a couple of other new flavors as well. I got to say this. I'm sorry. It's in the script, so don't make fun of me too much. Yummy cinnamony churro. Cinnamony. It's yummy cinnamony churro. That's the new flavor. Along with coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie as well. And of course, the brownie batter puff that I'm raving about right now. All Built Bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They really are healthy for you. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, which works for my keto diet and Jordan's keto diet, and 17 grams of protein. Right now, if you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off your order. Just use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Joe DiBiase here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Ooh, did you hear the voice there? How many minutes do you think I got left? 5 or 6? I heard it go out just a little bit there. It's a flickering light at the moment. I want to remind you that on Monday, March 21st, this coming Monday at 3:30, tune into Locked On Fantasy Hockey's live deadline reaction show to get all the on the ice fantasy and betting analysis you need from host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone, with appearances from our roster of local team experts. I've got 5 trades, speaking of the deadline, that I think the Buffalo Sabres should offer to other teams. Kevin Adams should offer to other teams before Monday's deadline. Some of these are straightforward rental deals. Others are a little bit creative. And the number one creative one I have, I've mentioned on the podcast before, so it shouldn't be too surprising. But I'll start with number 5, the number 5 trade that Kevin Adams should offer to another team: Vinny Hinostroza to the Los Angeles Kings for a 3rd-round pick. I like Hinostroza. He's been very good as a bottom 6 forward this season. I would want him back next season as a bottom 6 forward. And you know what? If you go to him now and say, we want to re-sign you and we want to do that in the offseason, and he says he's interested in that, he wants to come back, I'm good not trading him at all, even though he'd have value on the market. Or if you want to try the thing that everybody says but almost never actually happens, you could try it where you trade Hinostroza to a contender and then you try to re-sign him in the offseason. I want to sign him, though, after the year. But he does have real value. 10 goals, 11 assists in 40 games played. for an 82 game season, he's on a 20 goal pace. He's fast. He's shifty. He is great with pressure, forechecking pressure in the offensive end. He's a good defensive player. He's not a great defensive player, but a good defensive player. And he really is someone, because of his speed, he is, and his responsible two-way game, you can have him on your second line, your first line, your third or fourth line. He's the type of guy, I feel like, that he goes to Pittsburgh and they put him with Sidney Crosby and he scores 25 goals. That's kind of what Evan Rodriguez is doing right now, right? I think that's Hino Stroza. And he's got a 20-goal pace right now, not even with the Sidney Crosby. He's been playing a lot with Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins is his most common line mate on the year, and there's that 20-goal pace for Hino Stroza. So I want to bring him back, but he's got value on the market. Third-round pick, maybe I could get a second. I think for forwards, the markets are usually a little bit more watered down. There's a lot of guys that are usually available, like Hino Stroza. So I think third-round pick, L.A., I feel like they could use some scoring depth. That's kind of why I picked them out. Adrian Kempe is having a career year. He's the only guy in their team with 20-plus goals. I think they could use – they're a good team, a great team that also, selfishly, I have a Stanley Cup future bet on, so I'd like to see them add a good player like Hino Stroza. I think he'd fit in really well on their third line and be a guy that could jump up into their second line if they have any injuries. So I picked LA out for that reason, but I think there'd be a lot of teams in the market for him, and I'd project like a third-round pick as being his value. The number four trade that Kevin Adams should offer to other GMs, to another team, this trade deadline, Victor Olofsson and Mark Pesek to the New York Rangers for defenseman Braden Schneider. Maybe I'm biting off a little bit more than I can chew here. Maybe I'm getting a little too cute into thinking the Rangers would trade one of their best defensive prospects. Schneider, if you don't know anything about him, was the first round pick of the Rangers in the 2020 NHL draft. They picked him 19th overall. He played a lot in the AHL this year, 24 games, and he's since been in the NHL with the Rangers on their third pair, playing only 16 minutes a night in 23 games. He's got one goal and five assists. He also did not do a whole lot for the Hartford Wolfpack offensively, zero goals, nine assists in the 24 games played. He's been good responsibly in his own end, though, but limited minutes. Maybe the development is a little bit slow for this guy. And the Rangers are in a playoff spot. They are going to make the playoffs. And I think this is a move where instead of investing a first-round pick, a quality asset, I mean, this is a quality asset too. Maybe he's the equivalent to a first-round pick, even more so because he's NHL ready for the Sabres right away if they were to trade for him. But I think Schneider, because he's a right shot defenseman, would fit in really well with the Sabres build. They currently have Dahlin, Owen Power, and Matias Samuelsson all on the left side of their blue line for the long term. And on the right side, you've really only got Henry Okiharju. This would add to the depth in the system on the right side of the blue line by acquiring Braden Schneider. The hardest part of this deal is, of course, whether or not he's available. He's probably not available, but I think the Rangers, maybe you can convince them with two players that can help them going into the playoffs. They do not score a lot of goals. They are in the playoffs for one reason and one reason only, Igor Shesterkin. He is the best goalie in the world this year. The Rangers are 26th in the NHL in expected goals for. They get run over on the ice, but their goalie makes it up for them. And I think Olofsson would help their power play unit, of course, with his shot starting to come back a little bit here. Olofsson would help them in their middle six and be another depth scorer for them behind Panarin and Zibanejad. And Pesek would replace Schneider. And while Schneider is, of course, the more valuable commodity because of his age, because of his entry-level contract, and because of the potential of a first-round pick prospect that just got a taste in the NHL and is 20 years old, on the immediate, Mark Pesek helps the Rangers more than Braden Schneider does. Mark Pesek is a third-pair right-shot defenseman, is exactly what you want if you're a playoff team. So give them the power play guy in Olofsson, the depth scoring guy in Olofsson, and give them the replacement for Schneider while upgrading their blue line on the short term with Mark Pesek. I think Pesek and Olofsson for Schneider is a deal the Sabres should offer. I would expect the Rangers turn that down, but that's a call that I would make if I were Kevin Adams. Number three, the number three trade that Kevin Adams should offer to another team, Colin Miller to the Nashville Predators for a second round pick. This one is one of the more straightforward ones. Miller is going to get traded. We'll see if he gets a couple of games in here in the next week before they hit the deadline. He's back practicing. He's just about back to health, full health status. Right shot defensemen, which are harder to find more and more nowadays. He's got the big shot. You can play on your second power play unit. You can play on your second pair or your third pair. He's got playoff experience that these old school GMs like going to the finals as a top pair defenseman, by the way. He went to the finals as Vegas's top pair defenseman with Braden McNabb when they went 3-4 years ago. So he's got the experience, got the shot. He's a good puck mover, good advanced numbers. The analytics department for any team should like him too. Not love him, but like him. Last year, though, we got warned, right? Look at what the market was for Brandon Montour. They only got a third round pick for Brandon Montour as a rental right shot defenseman. I think Miller is about the same value. I'll go to second round pick, though, because Nashville, if you look at their right side of their blue line, they're a playoff team right now. Where are they? They're in third place in the Central with 74 points. They're a playoff team, and the right side of their blue line is really lacking. Dante Fabro on their top pair with Roman Josi, Alex Carrier on their second pair with Matthias Ekholm. The Predators are good on the left side, but you got Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, and Philip Myers as the right side of their blue line. Colin Miller might go to their top pair with Roman Josi if they were to trade for him, and I think that should be worth a second round pick to the Buffalo Sabres. The number two trade the Sabres should offer to another team: Craig Anderson to the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs are in shambles in net. Peter Mrazek, you cannot trust him right now. Jack Campbell has had a very good year and a half, but he's hurt right now. And he didn't show up for them when it came postseason time last year. So do you fully trust Jack Campbell? Do you fully trust Jack Campbell to stay healthy? Because right now, you cannot trust Peter Mrazek as your backup goaltender to start playoff games. They have another kid that they called up from the Marlies that's not even been that good in the AHL. He had a good game yesterday, but he's like a 906 goalie in the AHL. Shouldn't be able to count on him either. Anderson would give them that insurance where Mrazek can slip back to the third guy. Anderson could be the number two. And if Campbell can't stay healthy or if he poops the bed at the beginning of the playoffs, then they could go to Craig Anderson, who played really well in game one for Washington of the playoffs last season. Remember, they had Ilya Samsonov out and suspended. They had Vitek Vanecek go out. So Anderson, who had hardly played all year as the number three for Washington, was pressed into duty, and he had a great game one. He stole game one for the Capitals. I think the Leafs should look at that one game that Anderson had last year and look at the season he's having with Buffalo, where he's been good. He hasn't been great, but he's been good and steady all year. The Leafs should look at that as a calming presence. I would offer Anderson to Toronto for a conditional third-round pick. He's old, and he's going to be a backup. So you might be lucky to get a third. The reason I threw the conditional is if Anderson starts more than 15 games is a condition that I would offer them. But I think you should be able to get a mid-round pick for Craig Anderson, and Toronto is a team that I think should come calling for him. And the number one trade the Buffalo Sabres should offer to another team at the trade deadline. I've spoken about this trade before. It's an idea I've had for a couple of weeks. I think it makes a ton of sense, and I'd love to see the Sabres do it. Kyle Okposo on a $1.5 million cap hit to Tampa Bay, a first round pick to Buffalo, who retains $3 million in salary, a fifth round pick from Tampa to Arizona, as the Coyotes retain $1.5 million. Get a third team involved. Have the Sabres take half the salary because they're going to need that money to get to the cap floor both this year and next year. Arizona is in the same boat. They're trying to, you know, acquire young assets to be able to take other teams' cap dollars that they can't afford. So it makes sense. In Tampa, the Heat, Okposo fits perfectly for Tampa. Third or fourth line, second power play unit, another steady veteran in the locker room they love to bring in at the deadline. They did it with Barclay Goodrow a couple of years ago. They traded a first-round pick for a guy in Barclay Goodrow whose career high in points was 23. Why? Because he was cheap. He was cheap. And that's the game the Lightning have to play. They have to get very creative with their additions because they're always right up against the cap. And they play around with that with long-term injured reserve as well. Get a Okposo to them on a $1.5 million cap hit, and they will give you a first round pick. I am sure of it. If you could get his salary down that much, and I just showed you how you do it, you give a fifth round pick to Arizona, or have Tampa give a fifth round pick to Arizona, and that makes it work for Tampa's books. And I think in that circumstance, they would absolutely be willing to give you a first round pick. I mentioned Goodrow, they traded a first round pick for, his career high was 23 points. Okposo's got 35 points this year in 54 games, a 20 goal pace and a 50 point pace. Okposo has had a real resurgence this year. He really has. He had kind of gone away as a third, fourth line defensive guy that didn't score a lot of goals the last 2 years. This year, he is back. He is back to being the player the Sabres thought they were getting when they originally signed him. And I think now is the time to capitalize, sell high on Okposo, and get the first round pick. Yes, I do recognize the downside. The downside is, of course, he's the de facto captain of this team. He is. He really is. And that will be a tough pill to swallow in that locker room. And you might not want to mess with it right now as this young group is coming together. And I do hear all that, but I would take the first round pick over over the locker room presence. Gergensen's, I think, is someone you could trust in that regard. He is kind of the other de facto captain of this team. You know, they're not starved of other veterans that can help this young group continue to come together. And you know what? I have a lot of faith in that young group right now. I don't think Dylan Cousins becomes doesn't become an a-hole like Jack Eichel because Kyle Okposo isn't in the locker room. I think Dylan Cousins has the character you want. Peyton Krebs, same thing. And Alex Tuck, you know, if Okposo's the de facto captain, I think Alex Tuck would really grow into that. And maybe he's already kind of stepped into that role already. But without Okposo, I feel like they'd be fine. I feel like Tuck would help keep the kids in line. Gergensen's would help keep the kids in line. Skinner, too. Skinner, I think, should be mentioned in this regard as well. He seems to get along with literally everybody on the team. I don't know about whether he's a raw leader guy in the locker room, but it's not like you have no veterans if you were to trade Okposo. So it's a tough pill to swallow. I get it. And that's why I would only do it for a first-round pick. I would not even do it for a second. I would not trade Kyle Okposo in that same deal for a second-round pick. It would have to be a number one. But I think it could be a way they get themselves to a fourth number one pick in the upcoming 2022 NHL draft. All right, I made it through a half hour. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to save my voice for tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Sabres and also the shows I got coming up on WGR. So I hope you join me at Hartman's at 10 o'clock for the Extra Point Show and WGR tomorrow at Hartman's Distilling. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Locked On Sabres podcast, making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow, where we will preview Sabres and Oilers, which is coming your way Thursday night at 9. That's tomorrow's show here on Locked On Sabres.